Let's head over to Austin. State Senator Charles Schwertner joins us. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
Let's start actually with a story we just completed in our news. 15% of undergraduate female students at the University of Texas who were surveyed said they had been either raped or assaulted in some way during their time there. I know there's legislation in the Senate, but give me your thoughts there, please.
Well, it's somewhat hard to believe. You know, I sat through a hearing regarding this issue in state affairs this week, and certainly the state needs to take action on the back of what happened at Baylor and obviously at other institutions in Texas. We need to take very strong steps to make sure that women are protected on campus.
What kind of legislation can you do? What makes different penalties? Support staff, what are your thoughts that specifically?
Right. Well, required reporting to the Title IX coordinator on campus is one of the bills that would help raise the awareness, and then that would obviously go to the president of the university. And also, individuals that are serving as officers of student-run organizations, if they hear something or are reported to by another individual, that they also would have to give that information to the Title IX coordinator. Raising their awareness is always very important to speak up and stand up. And I want to commend Texas A&M University because they've been very in the front of this issue and making sure that awareness was present on campus.
Well, certainly it concerns parents. They want their sons and daughters to be safe while they're away at school, and this is, I would think, of paramount importance. Last week, you and I talked about a proposal that you made that there would be a cap on the amount of funding that could come out of the permanent university fund mm-hmm. each year. Tell me, it's a week later. What kind of feedback have you been receiving?
Well, I think it's important to, have that conversation, start a conversation of what makes sense from a long-term standpoint of judicial management of the PUF money. This is a permanent fund, a sovereign wealth fund that is the property of the state but managed by UTEMCO. And what makes sense from a personal standpoint when you withdraw assets from your retirement accounts is maybe 4% or 5%. To make sure you don't deplete the corpus or the amount of money that you're going to have and not retire complete or die completely broke. And so, I think judicial management would make one look at looking at that 7% cap, that's a constitutional cap, and maybe lowering it to 6%.
State Senator Charles Schwertner joining us from Austin this morning. Yesterday, the Senate took action in answer to the court saying that the voter ID law in Texas is not as it should be. Your thoughts on that legislation?
Well, we had that bill on the floor yesterday, and I certainly am a strong proponent of photo voter ID for elections. I think it's important safeguard and make sure that the integrity of the ballot box is maintained. There were certainly lawsuits, and we have to revise our photo voter ID law here in Texas, and that's what we were doing yesterday.
In your committee in Senate Bill 1130, that has to do with care for non-Medicaid patients in extended care facilities. Is that correct?
One more time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a Senate Bill 1130 having to do with the care for non-Medicaid patients. I think that those facilities would get more money back than they're getting right now.
Oh, yes, 1130. That's not my bill. That's Senator Hinojosa's bill. So, that's regarding nursing homes.
But it was in your committee. Is that right?
That's right. We had a lot of testimony regarding that. And that's there are some novel ways of trying to draw down some federal funds. Senate Bill 1130 would allow there to be an imposition of a fee on individuals that reside in nursing homes. That money would then be matched at a higher level by the federal government. And improve the amount of money flowing toward nursing homes. Nursing homes are challenged because the majority of the individuals that reside in nursing homes are on Medicaid and paid for by the state. And it's always difficult to run a facility that is primarily dependent on Medicaid. There's been opposition. There are some people that call this a bed tax or a granny tax, and I understand their concerns, but there are certain provisions of the bill that would make sure that any nursing home that has to impose this fee on their residents would be made whole. These are the ones that are the most concerned are the ones that are low Medicaid, private pay nursing homes, and there's a small number of those in our state.
What kind of dollar amount are we talking about as far as this fee would be?
A lot. The fee overall would be about $400 million a year for all the individuals, you know, spread across all the individuals that reside in nursing homes. It's a 6% tax or fee, and the amount of money matched by the federal government would be over $800 million. So it would be a significant, you know, shot in the arm to those facilities, all facilities in the state.
State Senator Charles Horton joining us from Austin. Calendar says that your E-Verify will be voted on today?
That's right, yes. It was voted on yesterday. Had 23 votes. There were a couple of Democrats and so that supported it, so there was some bipartisan support. I think it's important that we look at all the factors that are contributing to illegal immigration. Certainly we have issues at the border and border security and physical barriers that might need to be evaluated and potentially built. But we also need to look at the jobs and the benefits that entice individuals to come to Texas and come to the United States. And we should expect Texas and the state and the contractors that we do business to make sure that those individuals we're hiring are legally eligible to participate in the workforce. I think that's very important that we send that message as a state to our agencies, but also to our contractors. And that, I think, will permeate out through the entire business industry.
What have you heard about the companion bill in the House?
You know, it's going to have to get some support from what, you know, the Chairman Cook, in particular, State Affairs. I've been talking to him about it, and I think the body would be very receptive to voting on it. And, you know, I passed the E-Verify bill last session that mandates that state institutions, state agencies have to utilize E-Verify. This is the logical next step that makes sure that contractors that are doing business with the state of Texas also have to utilize E-Verify. So, yeah, I'm ever hopeful that we can come to a way forward with our House colleagues and get this on the governor's desk.
And finally, the budget vote today in the Senate. Tell us about that.
That's right. I think it's going to be a very strong vote. You know, it came out of committee 15-0. There's four Democrats on the Finance Committee, so it was a bipartisan vote there. I think it's a prudent, fiscally responsible budget that we passed out of committee, and I think you're going to see a very strong vote on the floor today.
Well, and of course, not that it hasn't happened before, but there's some bookkeeping involved where you make a payment a day later and it goes into the next year's budget. Not anything new or different, but probably be some things like that in this budget.
You know, the House budget only pays for, I think, 23 months of. So they're actually using the deferral process. The Senate budget actually is doing what the comptroller told us that is appropriate and allowed, which is when you institute the amount of sales tax that is going toward transportation from the constitutional amendment, Prop 7, you can to figure when you start it is really up to the comptroller, and he thought it would be possible and appropriate to actually start that in September of 2019 versus August of 2019. And by doing so, that actually allows for $2.5 billion adjustment in the current budgeting cycle. So that's not really using a deferral process at all. That's basically just implementing what the comptroller told us we could do.
The speaker called it Enron accounting. What are your thoughts there?
You know, I think that's unfortunate. I think it's pretty unwise to be calling colleagues, especially in your own party, Enron-esque and implying that they're not of integrity and using accounting shenanigans and tricks that are unlawful, which is basically what Enron was doing. You know, that's no way to get moved forward in a bicameral fashion.
Yeah, I think it raised a few eyebrows. So now, let's say Senate passes their budget, the House passes theirs, then it has to go to a committee from the representatives from both bodies.
Tell us
a little bit about the formation of that conference.
Right. Five members from the Senate and five members from the House serve on that committee. I was on that committee. It's called a conference committee last session, and we hammer out the final details. And truth be told, that's where a lot of the hard issues of the budget are hammered out and finally decided. So it's obviously a very important position. I was as the chair of the health portion of writing the budget, the Article 2 budget. I was honored to be on that committee last time, and we'll see the lieutenant governor appoints me to that position again.
Safe to say, because of that, because you do oversee the largest segment of the budget, you'll probably have a seat at that table.
Well, it's up to the lieutenant governor, and I wouldn't want to speak to for his decisions.
Anything else that we need to? Of course, the budget's a pretty big deal, but anything else that happens this week that we need to take note of?
Well, the budget is the biggest issue coming on the floor. We're going to pass E-Verify out today. I think that's a very important bill, and we're working our way through a huge amount of bills in state affairs and health and human services and in business and commerce, all committees I sit on and I'm honored to participate in.
State Senator Charles Werner joins us each Tuesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on the website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Senator.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
All right,
take care.
Bye.